It has been many weeks since we left you. I thank you for praying, some for writing, and all of you for remembering. It is good to be back here and to see all of you in flesh and blood. Vancouver is as a plant planted. I thank you for your remembrance in prayer, in giving. Some have asked, why do we have to help a rich country like Canada? Dear friends, may I assure you, Singapore is richer than Canada. And you are as rich as the Lord enables you, as rich as the Lord has favored you, given you health, and supplied you. So let us remember that there in Vancouver is a small group of ordinary people like you and me, not rich, working people. And when we give, we don't give because of people, we give because of the Lord. So may God bless you for all your efforts, for your giving, for your prayers, for your remembrance. There is a great work to be done there. Your next vacation, consider. Maybe Vancouver, maybe Toronto, maybe Sydney. Somewhere where your help can be put to good use. But of course you must prepare. I am told, and I'm very happy to know, that among those who attend the night classes in Far Eastern Bible College, the largest group comes from Calvary. Does that help you? Encourage you? Oh, dear friends, your time spent in those night sessions is not in vain. Anyone else who has never been to those night classes, consider. Why not? People travel 12,000 miles to the States and sit in apostate seminaries and get poisoned. Here you only have to travel 15 minutes and you get the pure word of God taught to you. Please consider this. We have a great fight to be fought. A moment ago, we had recited the promise before God that we will give ourselves a living sacrifice to serve the Lord in this year, 1998. I have been harping on this year 2000 for at least 10 or 15 years. Now, it is only 2 years to go. How close is the year 2000? We have promised before God today that we will serve Him for 1 year, then another year. Let me ask you, how many more years do you think you have to serve the Lord? Don't think of the many years before, but think of your life that is so uncertain. Not your youth, but our life is but a handbreadth and entirely beyond your own control. God holds your life, and He has something good for you to do for Him. Why don't you consider? For we are laborers together with God. All those who stood just now, some did not stand, doesn't matter. But if in your heart you have said, Lord, I want to serve you, you are laborers together with God. Oh, we belong to a great team. Great, wonderful, blessed business of God. For we are God's building. You know what is the building? But it is not of bricks and mortar. The building is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we form that building. We are building for eternity together. We are building for God's glorious everlasting kingdom. the only enterprise on earth which endures beyond earth. Nothing else. The past 6 months must have taught us all a lesson not to trust in uncertain riches. For one country in the world, by doing nothing except manipulating, has caused people's currency to dive down 50, 70, 80%. Rich people suddenly become in great straits, great poverty. Do you understand all this? I don't. It's something most marvelous happening before our eyes. But we know this. All these things point to one great event. The Lord must come and restore order. Our Lord Jesus, according to His promise, He says, I will come again. He must come again. He will come again. Are you ready for it? Dedication Sunday, once a year, is not just a routine that we have to go through. Not at all. But I pray that this morning, standing up and reciting the promise, may indeed have the Holy Spirit unction in all of us to understand that we belong to the great King of Kings, serving Him, not any man. Today we see dimly. You serve Him. Sometimes it's humdrum, tasteless, so wearisome, isn't it? Every week I got to do something for the Lord. Oh, dear friends, please pray for a new vision to see that this is a glorious work. Nobody praises you, so what? Oh, if the Master praises you, what a man. Don't wait for any man to praise you, but serve Him. The day comes when He will give you that reward. Paul reminds us, every man's work shall be made manifest. All will see what you have been doing, but the most important thing is the Lord will see. He sees today. And it says it will be tried by fire. The fire will reveal what kind of work you are doing for the Lord today. All those who are building with gold, silver, and precious stones in that day will be manifest. They shall receive a reward. So I say, dear friends, let us unite and labor on. There's so much we can do for Him. Before us is a task. I say, please do not underestimate it. In the passage we read earlier on, the great wise king, Solomon, as he faced the task of ruling a country of people, God's people, a great people, he realized his inadequacy. What did he say? Remember, he said to the Lord, who appeared to him in Gibeon and spoke to him, he says, Lord God, I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And how can I rule thy people? This is the first and basic step of wisdom. What is it? To know that you do not know. For the one who knows not that he knows not is a fool. But wisdom says, I don't know how. Please help me, God. So, Solomon says, Lord, give thy servant what? Understanding. For if the wisdom of God were to come into you, in whatever you do, success is assured. Do you know that? In Gibeon, God appeared to Solomon. And Solomon made the right prayer there. Give unto thy servant an understanding heart that I may discern. It is not easy don't know what is right and what is wrong. There's so many choices today. They call them options. How do you know which is right, which is wrong? You make the wrong decision, you finish up in big trouble. God give me that understanding heart. I say, today is our Gibeon. What is Gibeon? Gibeon is the sanctuary of God where God meets with his people, where the people go up for worship, for sacrifice, and there and here, God meets with us. This is our Gibeon. God is present, and he asks all of us today, as you face this year of the tiger, a new year, what shall I give to you? You ask it, I will give it to you. This is the most gracious offer, a generous offer from the Lord who gives every good and perfect gift. Comes only from above. And so to all of us here today, he says, ask and it shall be given you. What do you have in your heart to ask the Lord even at this moment? What is it that bothers you? What is it that you pray place high priority, young men, young women, friends? Ask the Lord, he says. Ask and I will do it for you. What is your request? Your prayer for 1998. When our Lord was on earth, he spoke to the disciples. He says, you know, we have a wonderful Heavenly Father, far more gracious and wonderful and wise and able than any earthly father. And you earthly fathers all know, without having to be taught, to give your sons the best. That is true, isn't it? No expense is spared. No effort is spared. My son must have the best. Now, apply this. The Lord says, if you, being evil, know to give good gifts to your sons, how much more will the Father in heaven give the good gift to you who ask? And what is that good gift? So I ask you at this time, think. Lord, I want to ask you for something good. What is the best thing I can ask this morning? I want to suggest to you this morning, now. There is no better prayer for a believer today. To pray this morning, and not just this morning, but I say every day. Every morning, Lord, I pray that you will give to me the best gift. The best gift of promise. You know, when the Lord Jesus was about to leave his disciples, and to leave them, that weak and disunited lot, to carry on the work of the kingdom, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without help. I will pray the Father and he will send you another like me. The Holy Spirit, he will come. The Holy Spirit of promise is the best gift you can ever have. And the Lord says, you pray. I pray, I will pray my Father in heaven when I go to send the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. That is the Spirit of promise, a most wonderful promise. And I say this morning, there is no better prayer you can pray except, Lord, please send me a double portion of thy Holy Spirit that you have sent me hitherto. Does that remind you of something? The day that Elijah was going to be taken to heaven. Do you believe this story anyway? Oh, there are many Christians today that, oh, that's a fairy tale. The day that Elijah was to be taken to heaven, he was forewarned. God told him, Elijah, today is your last day. I'm going to take you. And he told his servant Elisha. Elisha said, is that right? From that moment, Elisha never took his eyes off his master. He followed him the whole day. Wherever he went with him. Then when he realized the time was nearly up, he says, Master, when you go, please give to me what? A double portion of your spirit. I've seen the Spirit of God work in you. You've done so many wonderful miracles. No man could have done it. And suddenly, in a whirlwind, the chariot of God, the fiery horses, came and took him right away. In a moment, and Elisha never took his eyes off the master, and the master threw down his mantle. And his mantle fell on Elisha. And a double portion of the Spirit. Now that's what we need this morning. Don't pray for anything else as priority. Of course, we all have many things to pray for. We must pray. But the first priority is, Lord, give to me a double portion of thy Holy Spirit to indwell me, daily to strengthen me, energize me, empower me, enable me to do all the things I have to do in this church, in my home, in my workplace, in society. There's so much you can do for the Lord before He comes. Don't wait. Don't wait till He comes. Say, Lord, please wait. No waiting. When He comes, it's all over. Even as when the fiery chariot came down, Elisha could not stop Elijah. Zoom! He's gone. He's gone. Then you carry on with the work. I say, friends, we have great work to be done. This is the promise. Today we need the Holy Spirit ever more than any other time, because we are living in the last of the last days. I want to impress this on you again and again. Even this currency meltdown of Asia is not something that just accidentally happened. Please understand. In these 6 months, the power and the financial control of the world in the one government has been accentuated 50%, 100%. Something I've been telling you for 25 years is seen this year. America, doing nothing, has made all the Asian currencies shrink down, and the American greenback zoom up. So all the countries today are indebted to America. Did they do anything? Nothing. Did they work hard? Nothing. Just by manipulating. We are living in the last of the last days. Because in this one move, America goes right up, and all the world who owe money, come, please, lend us some dollars. Lend us some dollars. At your interest. On your terms. Oh, dear friends, we do live in perilous times. You may not feel it because the Sing dollar is still quite good. But my friends from Indonesia, suddenly your dollar is worth 20 cents. How do you live? So all the countries now look to America. Please help. Please help. And the Americans who have done nothing say, oh yes, we must help. We must help. Because if we don't help, they will all crumble. And the whole world will be in chaos. What's the use of our having so much money when the rest of the world is in chaos? So magnanimous, generous, gracious America is rising to be the leader of the world, Antichrist, shaping up before your eyes. We live in the last of the last days. If you don't realize it, you should realize it after today. We are in a great conflict of truth versus error. You know what Dr. Mahathir said is absolutely right. There ought to be law and order in the monetary field. There should be control, right? Yes. But the more he said, the faster his ringgit went down.
Oh, dear friends,
truth today is not held up as truth, but it is money that is power, not truth. Oh, my friends, we are in that great conflict, truth versus error. Who is to decide which is truth? Can you? Can America? Oh, the greenback says, in God we trust. Look at the dollar. In God we trust, do they? It should be, take away the L. Added the L. In gold we trust. Today we're in a great conflict. Church versus the world. You enter the church, not every church, mind you. If you know the difference, you thank God you're in this church. You thank God that you are in the true church. A church that still holds to the King James Bible and preaches the truth. This is the church. Not every church preaches the truth. So I say, thank God you are in the church that stands for the truth. You are in the church where the gospel is held up against many faiths. Again, I remind you of the year 2000. Now I subscribe to the Journal of United Religions. You've got to know what they are talking about. And the agenda says, we, the United Religions of the world, are working for one day. In 1999, December 31st, that is just next year end, as the world is spinning, rotating, on that day into year 2000, we are praying in United Religions that there will be a 24-hour period of no fighting on all the earth, because all the United Religions will tell all their followers, stop fighting for one day. That is the target. How foolish. How foolish. And the Word of God says, when men shall say, safety and peace, sudden destruction will come upon them. Peace does not come by United Religions. We're not against peace. Of course, we are for peace. Peace comes only when mankind repent and turn to God and acknowledges the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes, there will be peace. When He comes, they'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and men shall learn war no more. Only when Jesus comes. Is He your hope? Praise God, in this church, we have only one Master, only one Gospel, only one Lord, only one hope, the blessed hope, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we stood up, promised God, we want to serve You, the one true living God, this year, next year, every year, until He comes. This is the real fight. Are you in it? God has called us to this great task. Earnestly to contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. So I say to all of you here, do you understand for sure what is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints? You must know what you are defending for, what you are standing for, what you are defending before you can defend it. Do you know? Are you sure? What is the faith which was once delivered unto the saints? This is the gospel, plain and simple, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And Christ was buried according to the scriptures. And Christ was raised according to the scriptures. And Christ ascended to heaven according to the scriptures. And Christ is coming again according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. Now if you believe it, you defend it. Let nothing move you, nothing sway you, nothing deviate you from this one true gospel and none other, no other gospel, only one gospel. So I say, We in this church, we thank God. I thank God every day that we know the truth and we are given this mandate to proclaim the truth, to defend the truth, and to propagate the truth. For without this truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no salvation, no life, no hope, no future, nothing except to join with the one world movement system. And then you'll be caught into that great world movement to build a peaceful society by man's efforts, and the end thereof is the way of death. We are together in the battle for the truth, and I say we cannot fight this battle with the arm of flesh. No matter how well qualified, educated, cultured, endowed with money and power, you cannot fight this battle. You can only call for help. Here in this church, we need help. To fight this battle, we call to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please help us. The Lord says, ask. It shall be given you. What shall you ask? I say, Lord, please help us from above. For us who battle here below, we are fighting God's battles and we need His help. Like Solomon, let us say, Lord, I'm but a little child. I do not know how to go out and to come in. This is the level of my wisdom, how little that wisdom is. Can you say that prayer? Lord, I am but a little child. I need your help. I need your wisdom. So Paul prays for the church. At this moment, I turn you to one passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 15. It is a very applicable passage, very relevant to our situation this morning. Verse 15, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints in your church, in the Ephesian church, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. It is always good for the pastor to pray for the people. Even as in this passage, Paul says, I always make mention of you in the church at Ephesus. Whenever I think of your faith and your love for the Lord, I pray for you. So do I. But, dear friends, we all ought to pray for ourselves and pray one for another. For prayer is power. And you pray rightly, God will send down mighty Holy Spirit to help us. What must we pray for? Verse 17. This is Paul's prayer. Appropriate it. Make it to be your own. Verse 17. Pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you what? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The best prayer is pray for the Spirit of wisdom. For the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. And He is the Spirit of truth. Pray for Him. Pray that God will give to you richly of His Holy Spirit, that He will begin to enlighten you. How do you understand the Bible? Let me ask you. You say, I went to Bible college. Yes. But how did you eventually understand it in your heart? Because you can understand it even without going to Bible college. How did you understand it? By the inner conviction of the Holy Spirit inside to tell you, this is the truth. This is the truth. And then you begin to see. Pray for the Spirit of wisdom which is from above. We need wisdom every day. We need wisdom because we are many times in situations where we are liable to make the wrong decision. Especially when you feel very hot
heated, angry, you make wrong decisions. The spirit of wisdom is a wonderful spirit that you can pray for,
because it is the wisdom from above that He gives to you, which is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The perfect wisdom from above is available to you. Pray for it. This is God's word. Pray for the spirit of illumination. Verse 18. That your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, open. You know, people who have no faith, no Holy Spirit, they read the Bible, but it is like a veil in front of their eyes. They read and they don't see. They don't understand the truth. You pray for Holy Spirit wisdom, and the Holy Spirit of understanding comes and enlightens your eyes. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. When you pray, your whole outlook will change suddenly. I serve the Lord in this church as an usher, right? I serve the Lord as a Sunday school teacher, as a deacon, as an elder. And ahead of me, it says there, my eyes being open, I know there is a great hope of His calling. He calls you to a hope which is endless. A hope which is beyond this earth, transcends all material blessings. Hope that is only in Jesus Christ, the source of hope. Pray that you have this wonderful understanding, that we may know Him, right? To know what is the hope of the calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. When you pray, the Holy Spirit will open your eyes, that you may know Jesus, whom you serve. You know, there is a great move in the United States to debunk Jesus Christ. It is a concerted effort in all the media to demote, to dethrone Jesus Christ, to make Him a mere man. Headlines, front page, cover. Is Jesus God? Is Jesus a woman? Is Jesus really risen from the dead? Systematically, methodically, progressively, the media in America is dethroning the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray that this verse will open your eyes to understand, here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died and rose again, and He has greatest power and greatest hope. Only in Christ you have hope. And this is the hope of His calling. He calls you to hope. What is the point of following a leader who leads you to death, to nothing to hope for in the end? Jesus Christ alone leads you to an everlasting hope. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, salvation and service of the Lord Jesus Christ has a great promise, not just the freedom from death and escape of hell's punishment, but there is something most glorious and wonderful waiting for you. Why don't you serve Him? See the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. When you see this, it makes all your burdens very light. Do you understand what I mean? When you feel tired, oh Lord, why should I serve You? Until it is midnight, I have lost my sleep. I lost my lunch. I didn't have any kind of recompense, no bonus this year. My dear, my friends, the reward is coming. Don't think of today, but think of the day to come. It says here, the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Are you a saint? Are you a believer? Are you a servant of God? These are the promises that apply to you. If you serve Him, it says, ahead of you, reserved for you, an inheritance. Inheritance is a great work, a great word of God, and it is reserved for you especially. Then you begin to serve with renewed strength, isn't it? Lord, My burdens now really are light. The Lord says, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you.
And learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Serve the Lord. You find that that burden is indeed a very light burden. Then you can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Now we go on to the very last three verses and we conclude. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us word who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He has shown, which He has wrought, which He has worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head of all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. These verses tell us where our Lord Jesus is today, seated at the right hand of glory, far above us in the heavenly place, on the right hand of God the Father, and there He is exalted, and the multitude of angels, the angelic hosts, praise Him, adore Him, worship Him all the time, non-stop. And this is the Lord whom we serve. Who? Jesus Christ, whom the American media is dethroning, debasing, debunking. He is the great Lord of lords and King of kings, whom you serve, whom I love and you love. Who is the coming King? Do you know? Oh, when we know this, all our outlook, the way we serve Him, changes instantly, immediately. And it says, all these things, verse 22, and had put all things under His feet, everything. In the whole world, what power is there? What splendor is there? What magnificence is there? On this whole world would be nothing compared with what the Lord Jesus has. And His glory, His majesty, His greatness and His might and His glory, it says, verse 22, He had put all these things under His feet. Everything is under His feet. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, to us. All His glory and majesty and power and might and wealth and honor, everything will eventually be to the church. Verse 23, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Do you know this? You are His body. We are His body. And He will share with us all His glory if we will follow Him. Serve Him today. Today. Don't give up. Don't be faint-hearted. Don't be discouraged. Dear friends, 1998. Very soon, 1999. Very soon, 2000. What will happen? I do not know. But I know this. It brings me 2 years nearer than when the Lord will appear. And that appearance could be very, very, very close after that year of 2000. I do not know when. But I'm ready. Are you ready? Oh, dear friends, pray. Holy Spirit, help me to be ready. Help me to see. Enlighten my eyes. Take away the veil, that I may see clearly my Lord whom I serve is the great coming King of Kings. The one who loved me, who died for me. The one who rose again and is risen on high. Coming again. Oh dear friends, we must serve Him. Go labor on. There's so much to do. Don't say, well, I am just only one. Of course, I'm one. I can't be two.
I'm only one. What can I do? I cannot do everything. Listen carefully. I cannot do everything. That's for sure. But I know I can do something. And what I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, God help me to do. That I will do it well for Him. Is that so? Nobody can do everything, but all of us can do something for Him. This year, 1998, go labor on, spend and be spent. Thy joy to do the Father's will. This is the way the Master went. Should not the servant tread it still? Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. Thy earthly loss is heavenly gain. Men hate thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises, what are men? Let us sing this in closing. 466, a favorite hymn of mine, and I'm sure yours. Go labor on, 'tis not for naught. We serve Him not for nothing, because He says, there is a reward coming to all those who faithfully serve Him. 466.